Another important area is asking your kids. Ask your kids to help out. Tell them specifically what you want them to do. Don't wait. Ask. Some parents complain that their children never mow the lawn, clean their rooms, or take out the garbage. Many of these same parents have never taken their children aside, looked them in the eye, and said clearly and firmly, without threat or resentment, what they want done. Remember, ask, don't tell. We need to treat children with much more respect. We need to listen to them with our inner and outer ear. We need to take them seriously. Instead of always telling them what happened, what caused it to happen, how they should feel about it, and what they should do about it, we should ask them the following clarifying questions. What did you do? What happened? How do you feel about it? What were you trying to accomplish? And if you didn't get the results you wanted, what did you learn from it? And can you use that information in the future?
Let me give an example of a time when I was interacting with a teenager. I was consulting with a school in Indianapolis, and I heard the principal out in the hall yelling, and I said to the teachers, who were actually not paying that much attention to me because they had grades due the next day, so instead of listening to my lecture, they were all filling out their grade sheets. I looked up and I said, you know, I'd probably be a lot more valuable out there in the hall than I am in here. Someone called my bluff. They went out into the hall, brought the principal in and their student that he was yelling at, and they said, okay, Mr. Consultant, let's see what you can do. Well, I asked the kid a question. I said, I heard you out in the hall. You sound pretty angry. What are you yelling about? He said, well, I got kicked off the baseball team. I said, really? How'd you get yourself kicked off the baseball team? He said, what do you mean, how'd I do it? School's not fair. Then I asked another question. I said, how long have you been going to school? He said, oh, I don't know, about, 10 years, 12 years, something like that. I said, well, when did you first discover the school wasn't fair? He said, about the second grade. I said, so what have you been pretending not to know for the last 10 years? He said, you're right, school's not fair. So then I returned to my question. I said, so how did you get yourself kicked off the team? He said, well, I was late. I said, you were late to school and they kicked you off the team for being late once? He says, well, no, I guess I was late about 5 times. And they kicked you off the team. He says, yeah. I said, so what did you make more important than playing baseball? He said, well, nothing's more important than playing baseball. I don't have that much money and I want to go to college. And if I don't get a scholarship, I'm not going to be able to go to college. I said, so what did you make more important than going to college? He said, well, when you put it that way, I guess sleep. He said, because I was late because I slept in. I said, is sleep really more important to you than going to college? He says, well, no. I said, if they were willing to give you one more chance, and I don't know that they will, but if they were willing, what would you do to make sure that you got up on time every morning? He said, well, I don't know. I don't have a lot of ideas. I mean, I reach over, the alarm goes off, and I kind of hit the snooze alarm, and I go back to sleep. I said, could you think of any way at all? He said, well, I could put the snooze alarm on the other side of the room so I'd have to get out of bed to go over and hit it, and by the time I was out of bed, I'd be awake. I said, that would work. If you had to come up with 2 more ways, what would they be? He said, well, I could pay my mother to throw ice water on me. That'd probably work. I said, I bet it would, and I bet she'd be glad to do it. And then I said, anything else? And he said, well, I'm the best pitcher on the team, and if we're going to win the state championships, which we have a chance, the catcher, he wants to go to college too. I bet he'd call me because we have a phone and say, is Bob up yet? And if I wasn't, then Mom would come and get me, and that would assure I was awake. I said, well, those all sound like good ideas. Would you be willing to do them? He said, absolutely. I turned to the principal and I said, would you be willing to give him one more chance? And he said, yes, I would. Now notice, I never told this kid one thing about how he should be better. Everything came from what happened, what did you do, how did you create it, what's an alternative, would you be willing to do it? Yes, I would. End of game, commitment.
I want to monitor for you all something that you've just heard one of the masters at processing people. Now, Jack and I have been friends, as I said, for 25 years, and he's processed me tons of times, and we've seen him process our staff and different clients. What you need to do is listen to this thing multiple times. I mean, I don't think I have to tell you spaced repetition. It takes a while to buy in and catch this stuff. But the line that Jack said that is illuminating, and I hope you really take ownership of it and then use it in the rest of your life, is what are you pretending not to know? Because a lot of us have effects in our life, and we won't fess up, get honest, and say, what's the causal point of this effect? Because Every effect has a cause. All causes in the mind. And so there's a trilogy here. There's a cause and effect and total resultant. Jack is the master's master, as far as I'm concerned, at unwinding that, unraveling it, illuminating it with questions. And if you go out and say, what am I pretending not to know about the situation? Why I'm not getting the raise? Why my wife or spouse or girlfriend or whatever your situation is doesn't love me? Why I'm not advancing like I should? Why I don't know my purpose like I should? Why I'm not as spiritual? Whatever your issue is, you can start to do new wonders in your life.
Jane Nelson, who's a friend of mine, is a parenting expert, and she writes the following. I once received a call from a frantic single mother who was caught in a real power struggle with her 14-year-old daughter. She had found a six-pack of beer in her daughter's closet. So when her daughter came home, she said, okay, Maria, what is this? Maria said, it looks like a six-pack of beer to me, Mom. Kind of getting smart. Don't get smart with me, young lady. You tell me about this. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I found this six-pack in your closet, young lady. You better explain. Maria thinks real fast and says, oh, yeah, I was hiding that for a friend. You expect me to believe that? Maria gets mad and stomps off to her bedroom and slams the door. When the mother called me, I asked, why were you so concerned with finding a six-pack of beer in her closet? Because I don't want her to get into trouble. Well, I understand that, but why is it you don't want her to get into trouble? By this time, I could tell she was really sorry she'd called me. She answered, well, because I don't want her to ruin her life. I understand that, but why is it that you don't want her to ruin her life? Finally, she got it. Well, because I love her. Then I asked her, do you think she got that message? And the answer was, well, of course not. I then asked her, what do you think would happen if you started with that message? If she were to start with, honey, I love you so much that I got really scared when I found this six-pack of beer in your closet. Could we talk about this? Because I'm real afraid you could get into trouble. Can we talk about it? In this approach, you start by being vulnerable and telling your deeper truth instead of conducting an inquisition that inevitably leads to denial. Starting from the position of love and vulnerability evokes closeness and the trust so that the child can open up and work together with you on some kind of solution. See, I love this example because the effect of a communication is the result it produces. And what happens is when you attack a child, they respond by either withdrawing or fighting back. But if I start by being vulnerable and sharing my hurt and my concern and remembering that the whole reason I'm upset is because I love them and that I want that message of love to come through, then the door opens, the child can hear, and we can have a communication where I get the result I want, which is the truth from my daughter, and I get the result of hopefully having them realize drinking alcohol at a young age isn't good for them.